hear your favorite NFL legends sharing their stories and insights every week right here on Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari. Take it away, guys.
The door is locked, there's no way out.
And now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Vikings wide receiver Matthew Hatchett. Let me remind you about Matthew's background. He's from Jefferson, Ohio, which is in the very northeastern part of the state. Played his college ball at Mercyhurst and later transferred to Langston University in Oklahoma. Matthew was a seventh-round draft pick in 1997 by the Minnesota Vikings, and he played in the NFL from 97 to 2003 for the Vikings, Jets, Raiders, and Jaguars. Also played one season in NFL Europe for the Amsterdam Admirals, where he was named to the All-NFL Europe team. That season, he broke the league's receiving record in number of passes caught, yardage, and touchdowns. For his NFL career, he had 60 receptions for 887 yards and 6 touchdowns. And after his time in the league, Matthew moved out to California, started an acting and producing career. He was the executive producer of an independent film called The Take, starring, amongst others, Rosie Perez, who was nominated for Best Supporting Actress in an independent film. Matthew's production company produced that film, and he is continuing to do work there, and we're excited he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Matthew, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Welcome back. Hey, that is a great bio. I could not have written that better myself, guys.
We're free for hiring now, Matthew. Anytime you need someone to introduce you, I'm your guy.
There it is. Say no more. You are officially hired. My hype man from now on.
So, Matthew, update us. How are things going? What's going on with you and your production company?
Oh, man. We're trying to stay busy. We have we got a TV show coming up. Myself and T.O., we got together to do a high school reality docuseries, kind of reality TV show. Regarding, background is, football pretty much. We're trying to take them to the next level when they get to college and what they're supposed to expect. And then, what to do if you're trying to make it to the NFL type of deal. So we've teamed up with Very Tall Productions and Ellen Racantine and her company. We're looking forward to getting that shot next summer. Working on a podcast myself. And like I said, me and my other partner, Brad Furman, we're working on a film as well. So we're trying to stay busy, trying to stay busy on the entertainment side. And as well, on the sports side, still doing all my, getting all my kids ready from, getting them to the next level.
So, Matthew, I want to get some of your thoughts on what's going on around the league and with some of the, the teams that you had an opportunity to play with. Right, we got the regular season kicking off tonight. I want to get your thoughts, particularly on the Vikings. What do you expect from the Vikings this season?
They're definitely going to the playoffs. It's like, how do they get into the playoffs? Are they going to be rolling? Are they going to be the hot team? Are they going to limp into the playoffs? But I definitely see them being anywhere from, like I said, 10-6 to a 12-4 team. But I don't think it's about getting to the playoffs for them. Again, they got to the playoffs last year. So I think it's about winning a Super Bowl. They brought a quarterback in there who thought that's the only piece that they're missing. So we got to find out. Now, again, the piece that's missing has to win the game in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes on the clock. That's the only difference. They didn't need another, any type of guy for that. They think they got the right guy for that. They think it's Kirk Cousins. So I think they have a great chance, a great opportunity, but I don't think we're going to find out until the divisional playoff game or the championship game with 3 minutes left on the clock and see if that $100 million was worth it or not.
Yeah, and Matthew, to that point, right, is Kirk Cousins that big of an upgrade over Case Keenum?
I don't think it's about the talent. I don't think they're looking at, he can have these throws and he's better at play action or he might not turn the ball over. I don't think it's about that. I just think they trust him in the moment. I just think with his pedigree, he has a little bit more experience. And I don't think if you're comparing them to, the Bradys and Aaron Rodgers of the world, everybody says, oh, he's not worth it. But when you compare him to another 20 quarterbacks that are out there who are starting, you got to put him, at the next tier of guys. He's, between, 8 and 12, best probably quarterback in the NFL, and that deserves a $100 million contract in today's game. So for them, I think it's a perfect fit. I think the timing has a lot to do with it, and I think for them, Tom Brady, he is their Aaron Rodgers.
Bob, questions for Matthew?
Great to have you back, Matthew. And you mentioned high school before, and I was looking at a little bit of your background, Jefferson High School. A lot of times on this show, Matthew, we get guys that went to a high school where there's a bunch of the alumni ended up in the NFL. But from what I gather, Jefferson, you're the only one that made it to the big show. And I was just wondering, do you ever get the chance to go back to that area, talk to youngsters? Because that's a big deal back there. And how does that go?
And you know what? It is a big deal. And I regret that I have not been back there enough, because usually I'm coaching during a high school season. So I can't get back to a football game during the season. Fortunately for me, and hopefully for them, like I said, this is the first season I'm not coaching, because I've been trying to do some more stuff in the NFL on that side. So I'm hoping to get back to a game this fall to watch one of my high school play. I did go back when I went to the Hall of Fame game. I did get to go back, you know, kind of move around and see some old friends and family that I hadn't been back for a while. But like I said, I would love to, you know, get back more, but me being in LA and then trying to get to Ohio, it's just tough at times. But at the same time, I definitely still give back to the kids. And like I said, I'm working with some kids every single day on some point and level for, you know, trying to get them to the next level of playing college or professional football. So I'm doing it. I'm just doing it not as much in my hometown as I possibly wish I could, actually. So.
And Matthew, when you came into the league in 97, that Vikings team had a lot of very good pros on it. And I mean guys that were just professional both on and off the field. I'm looking down a little bit in the roster. You had Brad Johnson. Robert Smith was an all-time favorite. Randall Cunningham, et cetera. And of course, some of those coaches were legendary. Billick and Fazio, and I can keep going. But who were some of the guys that you remember that really kind of welcomed you to the league, kind of showed you the ropes, and guys you were comfortable with?
Well, I think for the most part, Randall Cunningham was a big influence on me. And, of course, just because of the position, Chris Carter and Jake Reed were definitely big influences on me. And I think I tell people all the time, it's like when you're a rookie and you get to a locker room, if that locker room does not have veterans, and you're trying to figure that whole how to be a pro out by yourself, it's tough. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much talent you got. And especially if you're in a city like Miami, you're in New York or L.A., it's going to be tough. But like I said, when I got there, it was about football. And they kind of let me know that from not what they were telling me, but just from their actions. You know, it wasn't about, you know, where's the party or where's the hangout. Or it was like, hey, how are we going to get this win on Sunday? That was the number one priority. How are we going to get the win? Then after you win, how are we going to recover so we can have a good week of practice and go win again? So those are the things that's all I thought about. I could care less about trying to hang out during the season or hang out or, you know, after the game. Those things were not important to me. And I really have to give credit to Denny Green in the locker room that he provided us. And kind of that's what it made me do. It's not like I had a choice, in my opinion. Like, this is what I have to do. If I don't fall in line, I'm not going to be here anyway. So I had to fall in line. I give most of the credit to Denny Green for, you know, kind of molding that locker room like that. But yeah, the veterans were definitely, you know, the biggest influence. Jerry Ball, guys like that, you know, even on the defensive side, Corey Fuller at the time. It's like I had to do what they did. You know, I wasn't trying to be the oddball out in those type of scenarios.
Matthew, you came out of a small college, right? You're a seventh round draft pick. What was it like when you first showed up for the first day of Vikings training camp? Was it a big culture shock?
You know, it wasn't a big culture shock. I was so happy to be there. I was just kind of like, you know, singing in the rain. You know, I was just happy to be there. I don't think it was a culture shock. I just made it. Like, there's nothing that can take this moment away. I just wanted to enjoy the moment. Like I said, and the speed of the game and the speed of how everything was happening, I think that was maybe a little bit of a shock. And I remember, like, my rookie year, for example, I would just see, like, the opposite color jersey. So we were wearing purple, like, that whole season. The first 16 games, if it was a San Francisco 49ers, I just saw red. If it was a New York Giants, I just saw blue, right? My second year, it's like when I started seeing, like, numbers on jerseys. Okay, we're playing the 49ers. Okay, number 28, he's the safety. Right. So then my third year is finally when I started seeing, okay, that's such and such. Now the scouting report that we actually went over, I could actually say, okay, 28, he's strong safety, he's going to come down the box. Okay, 27, he's the corner, he likes to do this. And then by my fourth year, everything was like slow. Like, I remember I could see faces under the face mask. Like, that's how slow it was. I could see people sweating. I could hear them breathing. That's how much. From year one to year four, that's how different it was. And I don't call that a culture shock. I just, you know, call that finally learning the game and learning how to get to a point of a real professional athlete. And, you know, when you got to focus, you got to be focused. Now, how focused can you be is the question. And then how many times can you get there?
So take that a step further, Matthew, because we hear that all the time, right? The speed of the game, right? It's so much faster at the NFL level, and it takes, like you just said, about 4 years for things to finally slow down for you. So I'm assuming when you're talking about speed of the game, it isn't how fast I can run. It's how fast everything is going on around you. So talk about that. What's it like trying to kind of navigate your way through there? Because you got, you know, as a guy that came from a small school, seventh round pick and that sort of thing, I'm assuming you were constantly fighting for your job. How did you do it?
Yeah, every day. I remember my college coach before I left, he said, every day you have to make a play to be there. And I really felt if I didn't make a play a day that I was going to get cut that day. Like, it didn't matter from year four, year six, year one. I was like, today is my Super Bowl. So I never had a practice mentality. I had it every day. This has to be the best game of my life. If it's not, I'm leaving tomorrow. That's how I felt. I'm like, I'm literally going to be cut from my dream if I don't go out here and perform. So that's why I went out to practice, like, you know, 45 minutes early. And I stayed a half hour late and I caught ball. And it, all those things after time finally came together. And now all of a sudden I look talented enough to be on an NFL field, or I look talented enough, you know, to go out there and make plays. But it was all actions of just trying to go out and work hard and go out and prove myself that I do belong here. And I'm like, I'm not going to mess this opportunity up. And I remember my rookie year, but after the Hall of Fame game, right? It was my first game. I had like this great one-handed catch, and I had another catch on third down. I played pretty well. And I remember leaving the field after the practice, after the first practice, after our first preseason game, a reporter told me, he's like, you know, you played great. Like, you feel like you made the team. And before I could answer it, I remember walking right behind me. I didn't see him at the time, but he was walking right behind me. And Denny Green said, be careful how you answer that, as he walked by. And I was like, you're right. That's over. I still got to go make another play tomorrow. And the next day, and the next day, and that kind of just confirmed, like, it doesn't matter what you've done. You still have to go out and perform every single day. And that's where I got the mentality of, like I said, every day was my Super Bowl. I had to go out and have a great practice every single day. And then the game would just carry over from what I did in practice for the week.
And Matthew, as you said a moment ago, you know, arriving early to practice, staying late after practice. How many guys are doing that? How many guys are coming in early to get in extra work, staying late? And as a receiver, who are you working out with after practice?
At the time, I didn't think I had great hands, so I would always just pretty much catch the ball. Like, I was on the ball machine every day after practice and before practice. Then Chip Myers, had taught me a couple of drills where, as a receiver, you think just going out and running a curl route, I'm going to get better at a curl route. Well, it's not true. Like, you have to get better at parts of the curl route. So, like, I work on just the top of my stem. Like, it's called the three-step drill. Very boring, very tedious, but I would do it literally every single day for 30 minutes until I was finally doing it like everybody else in the NFL was doing it. Then the following, like I said, offseason, I might just work on my start of the curl route, you know, stuff like that. But it wasn't just, okay, go run a curl. And I think that's what people don't understand. It's like, you have to go do all of these things over time. You'll get better. But at one time, you're going to have to do something that's very boring. You got to do it over and over and over. So after practice, before practice, whatever it was, it had to be different types of things, you know, throughout your career. And that's kind of what I try to tell the kids now. And I say on every team, I'll say you might have one or two guys that really stay after and do some work. You might have four or five that stay after sometimes. But when you're talking about every single day, there's not a lot on every single level. I can take you up to USC. I can take you to the Chicago Bears. I can take you to modern day high school. You might have one, but I was that one. And that's the only reason I got to play as long as I did in the NFL, because I was just the one.
Bob, more for Matthew.
And Matthew, you ended your career 2003. I'm checking out the Jaguars. That team, not good on paper as far as record wise, but to me, had a couple Hall of Famers on that offense, Fred Taylor and Jimmy Smith, whose names, for some reason, maybe because they play down there, they go under the radar screen. But yeah. Smith, at 34 years old, was still playing well there. He would go on to have a few more great years after that. What are your memories of both of those guys and that offense in general?
Oh, man, the first time I saw Freddie T, I was like, woo, he's special. Like I said, I played with Robert Smith. I played with Curtis Martin in New York. But when I saw Freddie Taylor run that lock and stop and still had power to finish runs, he was special. And I remember him clear to this day. He just really, like I said, he was hurt, you know, a lot of his career, and he was in a small market. And at this time, don't forget, there's no social media. And there weren't Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night games. So if you weren't on a Monday night game, nobody ever heard of you. And they weren't that good year after year. So he was never on the prime time stage. If you don't have playoffs and Monday night games, you're not on the prime time stage. So that kind of hurt his career. And kind of Jimmy Smith, same deal. Like I said, he had some good years. But if you're not playing in big games and on Monday nights and playoffs, well, like I said, he might have had 160 yards, but nobody ever heard about it. So, you know, but again, Jimmy was, again, work ethic type of guy. I wouldn't say he was the most talented guy, but, you know, to come into the league and wasn't a high draft pick, but he just kept working his butt off and would go out on the stage on Sundays and make plays.
And finally, Matthew, I mean, playing 6 years in the league like you did, you're still below the age of 30, and you're not going to be playing football anymore. Was that acceptable to you? Did you go out on your own terms? And how was the adjustment at the age of 30?
I don't think no player ever goes out on his own terms. You know, I think John Elway did because, you know, he's won a Super Bowl and retired, Jerome Bettis. You know, I think that's two out of the 3,000 people we can think of right now, but Joe Montana didn't go out on his own terms. Troy Aikman didn't. So I think that's the fight of your professional career. When is it over? When am I done? At the time, when I got done with Jacksonville, I thought I was at the hype of my game. I thought I was just now, like, I thought everything was slow to me. I thought the game was getting easier. I was a late round draft pick who didn't have a big name from a small school. They had no reason to keep me around. And I remember when I left Jacksonville, I remember it was after 6 weeks, I was the leading receiver on that team, and I didn't dress the rest of the season for whatever reason. So, you know, we can play the politic game, we can play the hypotheticals, but after 6 weeks out of any NFL team, have you ever seen a person who's leading every receiving category not dress the rest of the season? I've never seen it. So when that had happened, I've done everything I could possibly do from my power, you know, to play this game, to prove myself. I've done it. And I'm like, it's time to move on. It was never going to happen for me because what more can I do than that? So, and I just decided to move on and turn the page from my career.
So, Matthew, that does beg the question, what did happen?
If I knew, then I'd be at peace. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I've never, again, Jack Del Rio called me in the office and they said, you know, you're not dressing. You know, it was like, okay, can I at least dress and play special team? But I didn't dress. I didn't do anything. So I'll never know. I've never asked. You know, I just never played the game like that. I just, you know, the general manager or the head coach, the pro personnel guy said something, you do it. And that's kind of how I took it. I didn't ask any questions. But yeah, after 6 weeks, I was a leading receiver in every single receiving category. And they decided to go a different direction at quarterback, which I remember Mark Brunell, they benched him and then they benched me, of course. And I remember, I think they tried to tell the media that Mark Brunell was hurt. And then Brunell did an interview that week and Mark Brunell was like, I'm not hurt. So whatever politic game they were playing at the time, I don't know. But you know, like I said, they make the decisions. I was just like, I just went out and practiced the next week like it was my Super Bowl during practice and did the best I possibly can and practiced the rest of the year. But I didn't dress another game the rest of the year. And I
wow.
Don't know, and I never will. So, you know. But, you know,
so Matthew,
go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, finish your thought, please.
I'm saying, but you know, like I said, maybe if I would have dressed week 8 and I would have got hit and got hurt and been paralyzed the rest of my life, you know, I don't know what was going to happen. Even if I was playing, I just take what did happen to me as a positive and I move on from it. And you like say you go attack the next day like you attacked the day before.
So Matthew, before we let you go, remind our listeners again, how can they stay up to date with all the great things that you're doing with your production company and, you know, stay connected with you, you know, online and on social media.
Well, yeah, this weekend I got a big weekend. I'm in Minnesota all weekend doing some appearances, doing some radio stuff. They're bringing back the 98 Vikings for a reunion here in Minnesota to kind of congratulate us on a great season where we had the number one offense in NFL history. So they're bringing us all back. So I'll be out here this whole weekend having a good time with all my old teammates from the Vikings. And then, like I said, I'm on my Twitter. I'll be on my Twitter. So #89 is, you know, probably the best way to reach me. And I said, I get on my Twitter a lot, like, you know, mess around on that. You know, have fun and keep everybody posted from there.
Well, Matthew, we can't thank you enough for taking time out of your night to come back and be a part of the show. We always have such a great time with you. We hope you'll come back and do
it again
soon.
Anytime. Absolutely, guys. You guys need me anytime, man. I'm definitely here.
Thanks for being here.
We appreciate you, Matthew. Take care. All the best to you and your family. Good luck with the production company. We look forward to catching up with you again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Talk soon, man. Have a good one.
Take care. You too.
Hey. See you, Matthew. That is former wide receiver Matthew Hatchett. Bob, that just makes no sense to me. How in the world do you look at a guy that's leading the team in all of those categories and say, you know what, we're going to go another direction? For what? What did I do that says you need to go in a different direction? I posted the numbers. I'm leading the team. I must be making some good contribution. You're going to go in another direction? You're going to bench me and Mark Brunell? Wow.
I don't get it, Chris. And while he's talking, there's still a little, I don't know if it's sadness or sorrow there. Or maybe it's just not going out on his own terms. And like I said, no one really does. But you're right. I mean, maybe having a defensive-minded coach, if there was an offensive-minded coach, he probably would have been in there. You just don't know. Timing is everything. And he seems to be kind of at peace with it, but probably would like some answers. But has moved on and is successful and – again, love having him on.